No, okay.
He likes to kid me, but that's all right too. I've got his number. Amen. I want you to do something for me this morning. And I want you to do it every service that you come, okay? Turn your frown upside down. I didn't say you was frowning. I said, if you do, turn your frown upside down. All right. Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning, isn't it?
Amen.
And we appreciate you being here. Thank you, ma'am. I don't know whether I'll drink it or not, but I appreciate you bringing it. I want to do some. He said that I was a pastor this week. That's what he told me yesterday. And I know what he meant. But let me say this. I told him I would be as far as the preaching is concerned, but he could take care of the rest of it. If somebody's sick, he can go see them. Amen. I ain't going to let him off the hook that easy. I want to do something this morning he may not agree with, but I'm going to do it anyway.
I didn't get a chance to ask him. But if he don't mind, I want us to learn a little course. Okay. How many of you have ever heard that song or the course, Smile a While?
Anybody? I know y'all have.
So y'all help me out, the ones that do know it, okay? Let's stand if you can. Just 1 minute or two, and I'll let you sit back down. This is my way of relaxing before I preach too, so y'all can relax also. Now, let me think of it. Smile a while and give your face a little. Lift your hands to the one who loves you best. Turn and shake your neighbor's hand and give the world a smile. Now I'm going to do it one more time for the one that didn't know it. And, let's do it. All right. Smile a while and give your face a little. Lift your hands to the one who loves you best. Turn and shake your neighbor's hand and give the world a smile. Amen. Now you look better when you're smiling, so you may be seated. I want to share something with you this morning that will help you, I believe. This is revival time for all of us, isn't it? We hope it is anyway. We're trusting that it is. I've been praying, and I hope that you've been praying, and I believe God's going to give us revival. I believe he's going to bring revival, but it's going to take some things for us. How many of you ever heard, and I'm sure you have, an appliance or a TV or something being a 5-star unit? You've heard of that, okay? Let me tell you how to be a 5-star Christian, okay? First of all, read God's Word. The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word. Amen. Now, reading the Bible is vital to the Christian life. And as we read the Bible, we should read the Scripture, and we should search the Scripture, comparing Scripture with Scripture, and also we should set a goal to memorize Scriptures and meditate on the Word of God. That's one of the stars. Read the Word. Next one is pray. God hears and answers prayer.
Amen.
He answered a prayer of mine a week ago. And I'm rejoicing. It hadn't come across yet, but I'm trusting. And I believe that God has already said it's going to happen. I just believe that.
The greatest untapped resources in the Christian life is the matter of prayer. Pray each day. Pray for your loved ones. And pray for the church and the leaders and their families. And pray for your church. Pray for our nation. Pray for those lost in sin. And establish a prayer list for your own good. Pray. That's number two. Number three is attend church faithfully. And I believe most of you do, if not all of you. The Lord Jesus Christ deserves our faithfulness. We need to attend every service of the church if it's at all possible. A great deal of the strength of our church is based on the faithfulness of the people. Support special meetings at the church with your faithful attendance. And then, some of you may not like this one, but I believe in this as much as I believe I'm standing here today. Give. You see, God's work is to be supported by God's way. And the Bible teaches that we should tithe and give our offerings. Now, that's four. The fifth one is this. Witness to the lost. Witness to the lost. Our Lord Jesus Christ came to seek and to save those that were lost. He left us on earth to tell others about the Savior. Now, if he didn't do that, then why are we here as Christians? Because if he had saved us and took us on to glory, then that would have been fine too. But he didn't. He left us here for a purpose. And we're to do these things and be a five-star Christian. Right. I believe that as much as I'm standing here this morning. Now, our theme for this week is going to be 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. And you don't have to turn there. That's not what I'm going to preach on. I'm just getting ready to preach in just a minute. Now, the Bible says here, if my people, who's he talking about? The five-star Christians, amen, which are called by my name, and we are called by his name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Lamentations. And if you have a Bible like mine, it's not a revised version at all. It's the King James Version. If you have one like mine, it's page 974. That'll help you a little bit because, you know, not too many times have I ever heard somebody preach on the book of Lamentations. I heard somebody the other night that mentioned it, and they brought out a few things about it, but they didn't really preach a message on it. So we're going to try to preach your message on this morning, and I'll try to let you out by 1:30. That's not but 2 hours. Y'all don't mind staying in 2 hours, do you? Well, you know, we don't give the Lord much time anyway. All right, Lamentations. How many of you have found it now? All right, Lamentations chapter 2. And I want to read just one verse of Scripture. And you may look at it and read it, and you might say, well, what does this have to do with anything? Well, I'll show you in just a minute. All that pass by clap their hands at thee. They hiss, they wag their head at the daughter of Jerusalem, saying, is this the city that men call the perfection of beauty, the joy of the whole earth? Father, we come to you this morning in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask you today just to preach through us this morning. Lord, we are thankful that these people are here today, and Lord, we ask that you just bless each one of them in a special way today. There's one here that doesn't know you as their personal Savior. Lord, I pray that this would be the day, this would be the hour, they'd come to know you as their personal Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. First of all, as I start, I want to thank everybody for being here. I thank my members for being here. Amen. There's three over there, and there's one or two right there. As members of the church that I used to pastor in, I appreciate them very much. Now, in Lamentations chapter 2, verse 15, we find it talking about the beauty of the church. Now, the beauty of the church is those that have been born again by God's marvelous grace, right? Amen. The church is made up of people that are born again by God's marvelous grace, even though sometimes there's people in the church that are not saved. But the church membership is not going to carry you to heaven. Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ will carry you to heaven. Amen. And I'm here to tell you that. I believe that, and I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I've been born again. The blood has been applied to my heart and to my life, and I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'm going to heaven one of these days. And I don't believe it's very long before the Lord comes back. And the Bible tells me that. But I want to preach this morning on this subject, the pattern of the passing world. You know, this world is passing by. This time on earth is passing by. Here was Jeremiah that's talking here, and I forgot to turn this on. Can you hear back then? Okay. Well, I don't need to turn it on then. All right. You see, Jeremiah was witness to the fall of Jerusalem under the Babylonians in the year of 586 B.C. That was before Christ. His heart was broken as he saw Jerusalem and the temple destroyed. The people were slain and the prisoners taken off to captivity in Babylon. We can see the prophet's tears all through the book here. We see, as the Bible tells us, that Jeremiah was a weeping prophet. And I believe that he wept over a lot of things. Most of everything that he saw, if not all of them, he wept. There's nothing wrong with a little crying in our heart, in our life. Let it go out. Right. People say, well, you know, I wouldn't be a man if I cried. I beg your pardon. You'd be more of a man than you do if you don't have compassion for people and let those tears flow every once in a while. There's people dying and going to hell every day. And we're sitting back and we're just enjoying ourselves, we're in our little safety zone, so to speak. We need to get out of the safety zone if we're going to have revival this week.
Right.
I believe that. Now, the book here consists of five lamentations, or as someone described it, it was like this. Five funeral poems commemorating the fall of Jerusalem. Now, let me share something with you that I heard this week, and I never had seen it, and I've read this word a lot of times in God's Word. There is Jerusalem. Now spell Jerusalem for me. J-E-R what? U-S-A. USA is in Jerusalem, in other words. Can you imagine Jerusalem? USA? That means something to me. I don't know about you. But the most touching part of the Bible here is to see the love and the sorrow of God for the people whom he's chastening in Lamentations. Now, it was bad enough that sin had brought God's people so low, yet there was a more magic truth that was revealed here in our text when the enemies of Israel and of God stood around and clapped their hands at the Christians. The so-called Christians in that day. Now, they said, is this the city that men call the perfection of beauty? The joy of the whole earth? The church today, like Israel of old, has become so involved in the world. I see the world is conforming to the church as the church is conforming to the world.
Yes.
Too much, too much. There's so much involvement here. And become so involved in the world, we are trapped by the devil, we are influenced by modernism, and we're divided by foolishness many times. That we have lost our testimony, and the world is clapping their hands at us and wagging their head and hissing at us. They're wondering what happened to the perfection of beauty and the joy of the whole earth. Think about this now. I believe if any one of us could describe the church, this is it. The perfection of beauty. The joy of the whole earth. We ought to be that way anyway, oughtn't we? If we lose that, what's going to happen? We'll be a hateful, stubborn self. We lose that, if we by our selfishness and jealousness lose that, then we stand in judgment of the whole world.
Yeah, right.
First of all, we're going to have to stand before God in judgment. When this life is over, we're going to stand before God in judgment. But let me say to you, while we're here, we ought to try our best not to lose our testimony. Now there was my, what do you call it?
Introduction.
That was my introduction. There are four truths I want to use for this message this morning that I believe that is worth our attention and consideration. So let me give it to you. With everybody trying to look this way if you can. First of all, it's the testimony that I have to protect. And you have to protect if you're a Christian. You have to protect your testimony. Do you not? There are people today that are watching us. They say, well, you know, if we do something wrong, they say, well, if he's a Christian, I don't want to be one. Have you ever heard that? I have. They wasn't talking to me about me, thank God, but they were talking about somebody else that I dearly loved, and it just hurt my feelings, so to speak. But the testimony that we have to protect, the only real joy in being a Christian, and the only way to have our life made beautiful is to let the Master take over. Amen. If we're going to have revival this week, we're going to have to let the Master take over.
Right.
Make something beautiful out of it.
Right.
Would you like to have a beautiful revival?
Amen.
I believe most of you would. First of all, because the wonder of salvation is the most beautiful thing that could happen to anybody. The best thing that ever happened to me was when Jesus Christ came into my heart and into my life and saved me for his sake.
Right.
Amen. I tell you, I could just run and shout sometime when I get to thinking about what God has done for me through his salvation. And it's his salvation. The Bible says it's his salvation. But he gave it to us.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord for that.
Amen.
Second thing I want to say to you, first of all, the wonder of salvation is the most beautiful thing that could happen. Secondly, because the Word of God is the most beautiful message ever recorded and the most beautiful love story that was ever written. Now, how much love can you say about the Bible? The Bible tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Isn't that a love story?
Yes.
He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's a beautiful love story there to me. And said, God is love. It tells us all through the Bible. It talks about God being love. And he is. He's my Savior. He's my friend. He's my everything. He's a beautiful rose of Sharon. He's the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000s to my soul. And that's beautiful to me. That makes me want to shout. That makes me want to praise the Lord. And I tell you something, but God deserves our praise.
Yes, He does.
Amen. Hallelujah. It's the most beautiful love story ever recorded. And there it is, because the power of the blood cleanses the guilt, and that is the joy of the whole earth.
Yes.
Fourth, because the grace that sustains day by day. Yes. We're saved by grace, right? Through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing more, nothing less, the grace of God. Like Sister Nancy was singing that song this morning. Greater is He that is in me than greater is He that's on the outside. Yeah. Amen.
Right.
Now, let's go on. This is our testimony. This is what we talk about. This is what we try to preach. And if I'm going to let the devil defeat me, let the devil use me to be a hindrance, and I become critical and I lose my joy, then the world has a right to clap their hands and wag their heads saying, is this the church that men call the perfection of beauty, the joy of the whole earth? They have a right to do that. So let's protect our testimony. Ask the Lord to help us in protecting our testimony. And He wants to. It's all up to us to ask Him. And then secondly, I want to say this. This is worthy of our attention and consideration. The trouble that I want to avoid. Jeremiah said the enemies were standing around just wagging their heads, clapping their hands, making mockery of God's people. With that idea, it would be sure that they never would believe in God, and unbelief would condemn them. But the real trouble is not whether you're happy or not, but whether the church could ever do anything to please you or not, but it is that sinner that is watching you, is observing everything that you say or do. Now, how many are going to be lost because we fail to practice Christianity? I got a message on practicing Christianity. You say, well, you don't have to practice Christianity. Well, with this world, you ought to practice Christianity. Because they're looking at you. And then there's another one I want to mention. There's the touch that I want to have. I want the power of God on my life. I've been burdened for a long time for the church that I pastor. I'm still burdened for them. Even though I'm not there anymore, I'm still burdened for that church. And I don't know if I'll ever get over being burdened for the church or not. I really don't. But I'm saying this to say, or saying that to say this is, the day that I retired, and I told somebody, just the other week, I believe it was last week, I retired from the church, but I'm refired for the Lord.
Amen.
And that's the way it ought to be.
Yeah.
If we're going to be retired, we can't retire from preaching if we were ever called.
That's right.
You remember that?
Right.
You just can't do it. Now, your health might make you do it, but you can't do it on your own. Because God calls you, it's forever. Amen. The touch that I want to have. Jerusalem, talking about Jerusalem, was destroyed. Zion was burned. The Jews, they were led away captive. They ended up in a state of being out of touch with God. Is our church in a state like that this morning? Or is it not only this one, but any other church Is it out of touch with God? It shouldn't be, but many times it's very easy to be.
Yeah.
If we turn our back on the Lord, as we've turned our back on Israel, I believe this nation has turned their back on Israel. And this nation, USA, is going to have to pay. I believe we're living in the last days, yes. Our desire should be to stay in touch with our Lord. As an illustration, in Babylon, they were asked, or the enemy in this position came to them and they said, sing us one of your songs of Zion. Here was their reply. How can we sing a song of Zion in a strange land? You see, they had been destroyed. Our desire should be to stay in touch with the Lord. We should stay on talking terms with the Lord. How many of you have ever bowed down on your knees and began to try to pray and felt like your prayers didn't go any farther than your nose, than your eyes? Have you ever been that way? I have. You may not have been, but I have. It's not a good feeling to be that way.
No, it's not.
I want to stay in touch with God. I ought to stay on talking terms with Him, in other words. We enjoy the fellowship with Him. And we should stay on praying ground. So if we have need of anything, we can ask of Him. And we should stay on Lookout Mountain. So if it comes, we'll be ready.
Hallelujah.
Are you looking for Him to come?
Yes.
The Bible says if you are loving His appearance, then He's coming after you. Well, I tell you, we need to be loving His appearance. This old world doesn't have anything for us, does it? Not a thing. So, we ought to be on Lookout Mountain then, oughtn't we? Just praising the Lord every day. I wish I could get both of my arms up like I do one, but I can't do it. But I'm going to do this. And we almost do it with both of them. But God understands. Don't ever let this unbelieving world for 1 minute think that we are not happy living for God. Amen? I'm going to say this. My people have heard me say it several times, so a lot of people that call themselves Christians walk around with the pooch mouth disease. We ought to be walking around with a smile on our face. When Vernon and I got married, and it's still that way, everybody used to say, well, y'all look like y'all the happiest couple in the world. Well, I don't know whether we was the happiest or not, but I know one thing, I was happy. And I think she was. She sure did fool me if she wasn't. And it's still the same way today.
Amen.
Even after almost 2 years. That's the way it ought to be with the Lord.
Yes.
We ought to love the Lord every day of our life. Don't love Him one day and then the next day walk around like you lost your best friend. Oh, me. It's a sad world that we're living in, isn't it? Few there be that go in, the Bible says. And God showed me about that. The reason for it. But let's go on to the last point I want to give to you today. That is the throne that I have to face. I mentioned it in passing by a while ago. The only institute that the Lord has on earth, and that is to bear His name and reveal His purpose, is the church.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
Faith Baptist Church. This church bears the name of Jesus.
Yes, it does.
When I see faces every time I come here, I say, well, praise the Lord, they're still faithful. They're still faithful. And I have to commend you for that. There's a lot of churches that are like that, but there's a lot of churches that are not like that. But the only institute to bear His name and reveal His purpose is the church. Now, if I fail in the church and I heard the testimony of His church, then I'm going to have to face Him in that day.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The Bible declares that we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account. That's talking about the Christian. The lost people are going to give an account too at the great white throne judgment. But the judgment seat of Christ is where the Christian stands. He gives an account of what He's done. His deeds, in other words. And now if we have, by our life, and by our testimony, cause a sinner to lose faith in the church, die without hope, then we must give an account, and their blood is going to be required at our hand. That is a sobering thought, isn't it? When we don't win souls to Christ, that we have the opportunity to do so, and I know we all have opportunities here and there. We come up on somebody once in a while that doesn't claim to be saved. We don't take that opportunity to witness to them, and they die and go to hell, then the blood is on our hands. You may not believe that, but the Bible tells us so. Now, we should be as the Apostle Paul when he said of Ephesus, "Wherefore I take you to record this day, that I am pure from the blood of all men." How many of us can say that today? We are pure from all men, the blood of all men. I don't believe any of us can, but we ought to be able to. You say, well, you're asking too much. I don't think so. Look what Jesus Christ did for us. He died on Calvary's cross for our sins. Let me say to you that great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. And in Psalms 48, and you don't have to turn there, but it goes along with the message this morning. Psalm 48, verse 2, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, on the side of the city of the great king. Then in Psalm 50, verse 2, says this, out of Zion, the perfection God has shined on. God shines on us if we're Christian and doing what He wants us to do. I don't know how to stop this message, but I'm going to stop right here. Okay. Let's bow our heads. I'm going to let you out a little early. How about that? I don't know any of y'all's hearts. It's hard to know mine sometimes. But let me say to you, I hope that you got something. I preach hard sometimes, like most preachers. But I just want the people that's listening and myself. And let me say this, when I point my finger at you, I got three more pointing back at me. And even I got a thumb that is a little crooked and it's pointing back at me too. So I'm not talking to you only, I'm talking to myself also. We need revival. And I know that you, as Christians, would like to see revival in this land. First of all, it comes with the individual. Secondly, comes the church. Then it goes out into the nation, the city and the nation. As we give this invitation this morning, and don't be ashamed to get up. And I know some of you probably can't kneel, but you can come up on this front row and pray. And let's pray for revival. Let's pray for our lost loved ones. Let's pray that God would send some in this week that would get saved. And if there's one here this morning that doesn't know you, know him as your personal Savior, this will be a great time for you to come. Father, we come to you again this morning in the name of Jesus, the sweetest name that we know this side of eternity. Lord, I pray that you would have your right of way in this invitation, in this revival, these services, Lord, this week. Lord, you know the need of each one of us. Let revival start in me. Lord, let it spread out over the congregation and into the world. Lord, I pray that if there's one here lost, that you would save them, Lord. Have your right of way in the invitation. Father, we'll be careful to give you the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's stand.